We're doing the book of Micha. We're up to what's called the fourth chapter, the second pasuk. The Nevi had said, in the end of days, the mountain of Hashem will be established above all mountains, above all hilltops, and nations will gather around it. The nations will be drawn to the mountain of Hashem, to Har Habayis. And the Nevi continues and says in pasuk bet, Vehalechu goyim rabim, and many nations will go. Ve'amiru lechu ve'na'ale el har Adonai ve'el beit Elohei Yaakov ve'yoreinu miderachav ve'neilecha ve'orechotav. And they will say, let us go, let us ascend to the mountain of Hashem, and to the house of the God of Jacob, let him teach us from his ways, let us go in his paths. Doesn't mean that they will all attain prophecy, but rather they say, let's go up to Jerusalem, let's go up to the mountain of Hashem, where the teachers of the Torah, that's where they congregate. The center of Torah learning is in the Beis HaMikdash, as we know, the high court, the highest academy, so to speak, the highest court, the Supreme Court of Torah was in the Beit HaMikdash. So they say, let us go to the mountain of Hashem, and there, through his teachers of Torah, he will teach us his ways, and we will be able to go in his ways. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Adonai mirushalayim. Because if we want to know Torah, if we want to know what's the way to lead our lives, what's the proper religion, what's the balanced way to lead life, ki mitzion teitzei Torah. The only place where we'll find a true path of God is in Zion. Udvar Hashem, if we want to know the word of God, it'll only come from Jerusalem. You can't find it in Tibet, you can't find it in the Himalayas, you can't find it in China. You want to know where's the word of God? It's in Zion, it is in Jerusalem. Vishafat bein amim rabim veochiyach ligoyim atzumim adrachok. When the world seeks out Hashem, so then the Mashiach will judge among the great nations. V'shafat ben amim rabim. V'hochiach legoyim atzumim. And he will take on awesome nations. Me'ad rachok, even if they're at a distance, he will be able to verify who's in the right and who's in the wrong. And this isn't the first time that a Jew sat at the helm of the UN, well, a real UN. The first time was Avram Avinu. As I'll say that when Avram conquered the four kings and he brought back justice to the world, the four kings tried to subdue the five kings, and Avram took them on single-handedly. So then the world said, we want Avram to head the UN. They started a League of Nations, and all the nations appointed Avram as the leader. So in the times of the Mashiach, the nations will recognize that the Mashiach is the one that should judge, and he will judge among nations, even those that are distant. V'chitetu chavoteihem le'itim, v'chanitoteihem le'mazmerot, lo yisu goy el goy cherev, v'lo yilmedun od milchamam. And at that time, the nations will break their weapons and make them into instruments that are used productively for working the land. And they will bash their swords, they will break them into le'itim, into shovels. And their spears they will make le'mazmerot, into shears, into these big scissors they could use to cut branches. Lo yisu goyel goy cherev, the nations will no longer raise a sword towards one another. Velo ilmedun od milchama, and they will no longer have to learn the different tactics of war, because they will have a fair judge to judge in their conflicts, and that is the Mashiach.
Right. Excuse me. So, is this going to... Sometimes I get filled... And then it being when it talks about the whole world, it's not talking literally the whole world. Is this really going to be every single tribe, like even in Papua New Guinea and in northern Canada, like the Eskimos, Eskimos, like they're gonna all come and they're all gonna like sell the discourse to the Mashiach? Like, how is this? Is this really gonna be a total global thing? There's gonna be no war whatsoever. Everybody in the world is gonna come to the Mashiach. Or?
That's how the commentaries seem to understand. Yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like. Yeah. It seems fantastic, right?
Yeah.
You know, how could one man do all this? The world seems on the brink of war almost. Wherever you look, it seems like the world's on the brink of war. Either on the brink or in the process. That's what it says. I don't understand it either. You know, it sounds unreal. But that's what it says. I don't know.
Is that true?
What?
Is there an idea that Jews will go as emissaries of the Messiah? Like be as representatives, just like the Jews have ambassadors and they'll communicate with him and be there to solve, to relay his decisions? Or is it just going to be a world that we can't really understand?
I don't know.
We're going to be connected in a way with him.
I don't know. It seems, you know, if we learn that all of this is talking about the Messiah, then question is, how does that work? Because although the Mashiach is going to be brilliant and a tremendous prophet, but you know, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't attain world peace. There were wars going on in his time. So the Mashiach is going to have to be bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is, you know, the Nevuah begins, V'aya b'achrit ha'imim, it will be at the end of days. What's it talking about? It's talking about a period where there are still non-Jews in the world, there are still many nations around in the world. So the commentaries seem to understand we're talking about the days of the Mashiach. But I don't know how this fits in with the Rambam, for example, who says, Olam kemenago noeg, the world will continue on its course, but the Jews will stop being afflicted.
That's the only difference you see?
More or less, yeah.
Wow.
We'll have a base in Mikdash, you know, the Mashiach will have a lot to do, but the world will continue functioning as it did. I don't know if the Rambam learns that this is going on the days of the Mashiach or something else. I don't know. Whenever we talk about these future times, it's a little bit unclear. I guess we'll see when we get there.
So what are we, for us today, living today, we're probably not going to see them, except the resurrection of the dead, maybe,
I don't know.
What are we supposed to take away from this?
I don't know. We said in the beginning of our learning Nevuah that on the one hand, all these Nevuot are here to give us a message for each and every generation. On the other hand, to try and derive, okay, what is the message I'm supposed to walk away with? That's a little bit difficult. Because who's to say? It seems from the Gemara, it seems like there's a concept of tzipia liyishua, b'chol yom hachakelo, an anticipation for a better world. So it seems like there seems to be that one of the questions they'll ask us when we come to the world to come, they'll ask us, did you anticipate for the fulfillment of the words of the prophet? It seems like part of life is this anticipation, but it's only a part of life. No, it's not the focus of life. It's a part of life. That's what we discussed, I think, a week or two ago. And that's not the focus, but it does exist. But beyond that, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the point of these prophecies is. I don't know. You know, maybe at the end of the day, it does give us a certain perspective as to where we'd like to see the world. Sometimes people are very militaristic. Sometimes people think, you know, Torah is all about fight and conquer your enemies. Torah is about ensure that your enemies don't harm you. But at the end of the day, it's like it's a means. It's not a goal. Meaning our goal is world peace. There seems to be like, if we could, that's what we would attain. We do want peace. Peace on our terms. You know, Jerusalem is going to reach Damascus and a lot of other things. But at the end of the day, we want peace. It's not that we want war. Maybe that's one of the concepts we're supposed to learn from here. War is a means that we're forced into, even in our parsha. The commentaries say, had we not sinned with a gel, we wouldn't have had to wage war. We could have entered the land of Israel and had it without war. It's due to our faults that we have to wage war. We have to wage war. David HaMelech waged war. We have to take care that our enemies don't hurt us, but we have to understand that it's a weakness. It's not the ideal state of the world. Maybe that's part of the perspective we get from these Nebuah. I'm not sure, you know, all of this is guesswork. I think these points are true, but to say the Navi came to give this message, I don't know. I don't know which one it is, or maybe something completely different. V'yashivu ish tachat gafno v'tachat einato v'ein machrid. And people will sit and there will be materialistic plenty. Every person will be able to sit under his grapevine. Every person will be able to sit under their fig tree, and there won't be anyone that's scared. There'll be nothing to fear. Kifi Adonai Tzevaot Dibeir, because the word of Hashem, who controls all the army, has spoken. The mouth of Hashem has spoken, and Hashem has declared that's the way it's going to be. So no one's going to have to be scared. Ki kol ha'amim yelechu ish b'shem Elohav, because all the nations, they follow their gods. Every one of them believes in their idol, and we don't do that. Why are we going to attain this peace? Because they went after their idols. Va'anachnu neilech b'shem Adonai Eloheinu le'olam va'ed. And we did not learn from them. We did not go in their footsteps, but rather we stuck to our guns. We maintained our faith in Hashem. And that's why we're going to have this time that's better in the future. And maybe in this respect, the Navi is giving us encouragement. Imagine the last 2,000 years, Am Yisrael was reading this, and it was all a prophecy. It was all, the Navi says it's going to be better, but no one could say that they saw it. They saw it coming. You know, it's a belief. The Navi says it's going to be good for us because all these years we maintained our faith when the nations all around us were pagans. Bayom ha'o ne'um Adonai osefa ha'tzoho le'yam v'anidacha akabeitza v'asher hare'oti. On that day Hashem says, I will gather those that are limping. Who are those that are limping? That's a reference to Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael, who is in a state of tatters. They've been beaten and downtrodden by the nations. So Hashem says, I will gather them. V'anidacha akabeitza. And the Jewish people who have been scattered in the diaspora, I will gather them. V'asher hareyoti. And just as I harmed them, by the same token, I will make it good for them now. So Hashem says, I will bring them back. And Rashi says that he thinks that the word ospa could also mean I will cure. I will cure those that are limping. That the Navi is referring to a time where Hashem will cure all the different ailments that plague, I don't know if humanity or the Jewish people. But Hashem says things will be better in a physical sense.
Is that referring to the curse that happened when Adam sinned, that that's going to be removed?
I don't know. I don't know. The simple understanding is that it's physical blemishes. To say that people won't die, I don't know. That might be a machlokas Rambam Ravid, whether in the days of the Mashiach there will be natural death or not. I don't know.
Vishamti et hatzolea li sherit v'hanahala legoy atzum.
Hashem says, Vishamti et hatzolea, I will take those that were limping, I will take and I will make them lish erit. They will be the remnant among the nations. They won't be able to wipe them out. There will be a remnant of the Jewish people. V'hanahala'a, and the nation that has been afflicted will become legoy atzum, into an awesome nation.
Umalach Adonai aleihem behar Tzion meyata ve'ad olam.
And Hashem will rule over them on the mountain of Zion. The nations will no longer rule over them. but rather Hashem will be their king, and his kingdom will be on Mount Zion, on Har Zion, Me'ata v'ad olam, from now until forever, for eternity, Hashem will remain there.
V'ata migdal eder ofel bat Zion adecha teite,
v'ata migdal eder, and you, the city of Zion, the, so to speak, the tower around which everyone gathers, Migdal Eder, it's like the tower where the flocks gather. And the idea here is that on the festivals, on the Regalim, all the tribes would gather around Har Zion, around Mount Zion. So that's why Mount Zion is called Migdal Eder. Ofel is also a tower. Ofel Bat Zion, the tower of the daughter of Zion. That's an explanation of what he was talking about in the beginning of the pasuk. Adecha teite. Adecha means to you. Adecha, to you. Teite will come. Teite is Aramaic, really. Like ata in Aramaic. Adecha, to you. Teite, they will come. This group that I described, those that are limping, those that have been scattered. So you, Mount Zion, the tower of the daughter of Zion, adecha, to you, teite, they will come. Uva'a hamemshala harishona mamlechet levat Yerushalayim. And then the first rulership will come, the kingdom will return to the congregation of Jerusalem, meaning then you will rule like the original rulers ruled, meaning you will rule not only over the Davidic part of Israel, but over all 12 tribes. Uva'ah memshala rishona, and then the first rulership will return, mamlechet levat Yerushalayim, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem, meaning the kingdom that had originally been in Jerusalem, the kingdom that ruled over all of Israel, including the 10 lost tribes. Yes?
Why is he using an Aramaic word? It's just, I mean, starting this before the exile, isn't it?
The Torah uses this word.
What's that?
The Torah uses this word.
Okay.
The same root. It says, Ve'ata meriv v'ot kodesh, in Parshas V'zos HaBracha. So, I don't know why, but it was a word that was already used in the Torah.
Can I ask what comes out from like it writes that all nations or all people who go, each man in the name of his God. I have in mind that everybody will acknowledge God.
Which pasuk are you in?
Five.
He's describing why is it that we will attain this position,
yes.
Because in the past they have each gone. Even though he's talking in a future sense, they will go.
Yeah.
He's the Navi is standing before all of this transpires, and he says, because during the course of history, every nation goes in the name of their God, and we consistently go in the name of Hashem, that's why in the end we will be in this position. But you're right that the wording is really futuristic. He's saying, Yelechu, they will go, but he means in a. They steadily go. That's how they behave in the steady. Steadily. Also, when we use a word that's in the future tense, sometimes it means that this is a steady occurrence. This is what they do consistently.
Ata lamatari reyam.
So why? Why now the Navi turns back to the people in his day and he says to them, so why is it that you're making all these friendships? Why do you turn to the nations and try to make peace treaties with them and assume that it is your peace treaties with them that will save you? Ata, now that you understand what I've said, lama tari'i re'a, why do you befriend friends? Hamelech ein bach. Do you lack a king? God is your king. Im yo'atzech avad, ki hechezikech chil kayol leida. Has your advisor been lost? You have prophets. They advise you and they tell you, repent, come back to Hashem. And when you do that, Hashem will help you. Ki hechezikech chil, that you were taken by fear, by a trembling, kayoleida, like a woman that's giving birth. You're so scared of the nations around you, and that's why you're making all these treaties with the other nations around you. It's as though you don't think you can overcome your enemies, and that's not so. Hashem says, well, what are you so scared of? You have your king. I'm here. And in the future, you'll be on top of all the nations. And even now, why do you have to turn to the other nations? What are you so scared of? I'm here with you. And Be'ezrat Hashem, I think we'll pick up here next semester. At least we'll end off on a good note this semester. And we'll pick up here Be'ezrat Hashem in 4 weeks. Mm-hmm.